Hey, everybody, Code Pen Radio. That's right. We're still back. We've been back and we're still back. Episode 405. I have my co-founder and friend, Alex Vasquez, on. How you doing, Alex?
Hey, how's it going? Nice to be back on Code Pen Radio.
Yeah. Alex is a tough kid. It's been a while. He's pretty busy here at Code Pen, as it turns out. It's been busy for the last, 4 years or so, trying to keep this place going.
Not really been doing much, honestly. But yeah, you know. I'm also a procrastinator when it comes to getting set up for this, so appreciate you having me on.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'll let you know, Alex is an elaborate note taker as well, whereas some of us kind of wing it. Alex really prefers to have good notes in here. I can't blame him. The show is going to be better for it. He's also our infrastructure guy pretty much exclusively these days. Sorry, buddy.
Yep.
And so that we're going to – I thought when we have him, let's not talk about, you know, divs and spans, you know. Well, we got to do some
DB. Although I love
DB.
Those, too.
Yeah, Alex likes a lot of stuff. We're going to, let me not bury the lead here. We're going to talk about search on CodePen, all of search, you know, but specifically, I don't know, the kind of the global search. Like anybody can search CodePen. You can search it on Google, but that's garbage. You come right to CodePen. There's a search bar right at the top of the screen. You can type whatever you want in there and search all of CodePen, which is a ridiculous amount of information to search through. We were using a product called Elasticsearch to do that, and we ditched it, and now we're just using our own god dang database to do that search, which is on Postgres. Is that how you say it? Postgres?
I hope so, because that's how I've always said it.
Yeah, okay. But we're rolling with it. Postgres. And it was a big improvement for us for a bunch of reasons, for the most part. And we're not here to like dunk on Elasticsearch. We'll get into all that. But it's a good search. It was a good choice for us. Oh my gosh. All right. So why, like, I don't know. That's your first bullet point, and I think it's a good one. Like, why was Elasticsearch a bad piece of technology for CodePen?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question here. For us, Elasticsearch is this amazing piece of technology, and we'd lived with it for years, probably had it around for 8 years at least. And so why move away from it? So for CodePen, the reason it just didn't fit is because our ability to... We have an incredibly small team. We wanted to make improvements to our search solution, but we never quite had the time to dedicate to improving performance or adding more attributes or being able to figure out why something would go wrong. And so because Elasticsearch is so good at what it does and it has such a mature product technically, and it can solve all these issues and has so many levers and ways to configure it, that actually made it incredibly difficult for us to find the time to dedicate to getting over the learning curve of re-indexing everything in our database, right? Like, I would say the number one problem that a team like ours faced was that we don't have an Elasticsearch specialist. This is just something we do on the side. So for us, we went through many iterations of trying to improve Elasticsearch. Like, we hired a contractor to improve performance.
Oh, that's right. We really did. We tried to buy our way out of our Elasticsearch problems.
We did. We were having Elasticsearch problems, and we paid at least $15,000 to $20,000 for a beautiful report. And turns out the solution was to double the size of our instance, and that solved everything.
Oh my gosh.
Which is actually cheaper than the report, thankfully. But it's the kind of thing where Elasticsearch is its own realm. It's its own ecosystem, and it's amazing. It really is a piece of amazing technology, and I'm so thankful that it exists as a solution. But for our team, we would need someone dedicated to Elasticsearch and maintaining it and making sure that our data was always in sync.
Yeah,
so
I think that's a good point. Like, if we had 50 devs and one of them's almost sole thing was making sure search is fast and amazing, then maybe Elasticsearch would be good. But we don't have that many people. So we kind of, you've already said it, so I'm not going to re-say it.
But yeah, honestly, Elasticsearch would need its own team. That you would need an entire team of developers, you know, about five folks to get the most out of a solution like Elasticsearch.
It's a little funny, though. It just has this one job. It's search, but it's a search in a database that's not our database. So I don't even know about all the technology, but there's technology that needs to keep that stuff in sync. Like somebody hits save on a pen, we need to tell our database that's the most important job that saving has to do. But then something else needs to go tell Elasticsearch that some stuff changed too. And that's not free. Right.
Right. That's not free. And it's something that what we did was we maintained kind of a Lambda, and that would run in the background consistently on a cron and make sure that anytime data gets updated in our database, it gets updated in the Elasticsearch database.
How long was it? Do you remember? It was not too long, like a minute or something or less. I don't know.
I don't know how frequently it got updated. That's part of the problem. Maintaining this separate tool set was something that we just didn't find time to. Every time people would write in with problems saying like, I can't find my content because I'm searching on my own profile and I can't find my pen that I just created, or this other piece of data is being excluded. It was kind of difficult for us to go ahead and debug that information. You know, Elasticsearch has its own query language. It has its own UI for querying that data if you go through the dashboard that they have. And it's great. Again, it's not like beyond us to do any of that. We did that on occasion. It just isn't something that we ever internalized. And it's always something that we struggled to find time to deal with.
Right. I only ask because I do remember like a user would write in once in a while to be like, I made a new pen and I hit save and then I searched for it 4 seconds later and I couldn't find it. And then you draft right back and be like, well, give it more than 4 seconds, you know, whatever.
And sometimes they would give it a lot more than 4 seconds and they still couldn't find it. And that was very obnoxious for them and really difficult for us to find the time to do
that. Yeah, it's a painful support ticket to get, isn't it? I know it. I know it affects you. That when somebody writes in with a problem that you're like, that is actually a problem and I just don't have the strength essentially right now to, I'm not going to stay up till 2 in the morning fixing that. Yeah. It's like an emotional power to do it. Like, so we decide, I don't even know what you or who was involved in being like, what could we do instead? You already know the answer. We switched to Postgres, but like, when did that come up as like even that it was even possible to as an alternative?
It's kind of a commonly known pattern to just go like, use Postgres for everything. Use it as your JSON data store, use it as your search solution, and use it as obviously your relational database. And when we moved to Postgres, that was a big part of the appeal, that we could potentially use Postgres for everything.
And you switched from MySQL, right? In MySQL, this would not have been possible.
The version of MySQL that we were on, I don't keep up with MySQL anymore, but the version that we were on was very old, and we switched to a very modern version of Postgres at the time. And so for us, that was a big part of the appeal. It was like, hey, you know what would be amazing to have what I would consider good enough search as a solution, but it's much better for the team internally. Like, we have the ability to synchronize the data very easily. Like, all our tools, whether we're working in development or on staging or on production, we can reproduce the same bugs in the same, no matter what environment.
I think we're going to end up on this for a while because this is such a huge thing. This I don't know that anybody absolutely needs to know this, but behind the scenes, our dev environment is plenty complicated. I'd say it's to the tune of very complicated, and it works great, and I think we should be proud of it. It's pretty sweet. We never did, this is not impossible, but we never did get around to running Elasticsearch locally. So that was just not a thing.
We ran it for a little bit, but we actually would turn it off because it kind of ate up a lot of resources for people's computers and those kinds of things. So it was kind of like, it's a little bit of a problem there. But when we were developing when we were like kind of improving, we went through probably 3 iterations of Elasticsearch. And the last iteration, I definitely had it in our dev environment, but folks would turn it off because it would eat up too much memory, and those kinds of things. So
I don't even remember that.
Sucks. You can have it working in our environment, but because of the complexity of all the services involved in our dev environment, being able to reproduce it and have it be part of the stack natively and having right. it be simple to debug is a huge part of it for us.
Totally.
A huge part of the appeal of moving to Postgres.
But we, you know, we definitely run locally as Postgres. You know, like that's, you can't run our app locally without like the database. So we have that going, which means, I don't know if you'd say for free, but it feels like that way to me, that like if we're going to be searching and using Postgres to do it, we don't need to like spin up any new local dev infrastructure to do it. Like we already have Postgres. So I'm just pointing this out to say that something you already know, it rules to have fully functioning search locally. Like if there's a problem with search Absolutely. Now, we just, it just works. You just test it and it works. And if a particular user has a problem, we have this cool thing called SSDB. I don't even remember what it stands for anymore. It sounds like something you invented.
Or Super Slim DB was the idea. SSDB. Super Slim.
Yeah. The idea is we can't pull the whole Postgres, obviously, right? It's, I don't know how many gigabytes or terabytes it is, but it's bigger than anybody wants to have locally. So Super Slim means like, I don't know. We have a config file that says what crap you want from the production database. It's like a list of users and teams and collections, stuff like that. And then you just run it on the command line. And what does it take? 30 seconds? These is kind of amazingly fast. And then your database gets like reset to exactly those people and things. And it's super chill. But I think you invented it because it's kind of like for a support ticket. It's like Jimmy wrote in and he has a problem with his account. You put Jimmy in the config file for it, run it quick. And now you got everything Jimmy has locally. And that's true of search now too. Jimmy's having trouble with search.
Right. That's a huge part of it for anything we try to debug on CodePen is our ability to reproduce it in our development environment is a huge part of it. So yeah, that's because that's how we run and we never wrote that software for Elasticsearch. Like, could you write that same software for and extend it to Elasticsearch? Again,
sure.
Of course right. you could. But that is what a team dedicated to search would do. That's not what the CodePen team dedicates its time to. So it was a big deal for us to not have to do that.
Yeah, all right. So it's in your head that we're on Postgres now. We have been for, I don't know, years and years, right? And we're really happy with its performance and how it works for us and all this stuff. It's nothing but thumbs up. We probably even, it was so long ago, we probably did a podcast on it. I don't even remember, but it seems like it's been that long. And so you always knew we could switch to Postgres. It's just at some point we finally like, all right, we're going to actually do this now. I forget the exact impetus, but, you know, money's related and problems and stuff. It's just on the list. Eventually you get around to the things on your list. And this was totally a new concept to me that, but it's not just like when I think of like search and MySQL, I'm like, I don't know. You just do like select star from table where yeah. column is like thing, and you're like, cool, then it will return search results. That is absolutely not what's going on here. There's all kinds of different ways you can approach search in a big giant database, and we had our eye on two different kinds. Both of them are very weird to my brain, but I thought this was an interesting approach that you all cooked up, which was we're going to have two of them and we're going to like pit them against each other. Isn't that kind of how you did it?
Right. So our solution, when we decided to move to the Postgres solution, the first thing we did was we're like, okay, let's synchronize the data. We have experience with triggers and functions. So we knew that we could just run a Postgres function that's triggered anytime a document or a record is inserted or deleted from some of the tables that we're interested in.
I love our triggers, right? So it's like you do a save on a pen or something. It's like it's almost like some code runs or whatever.
And it's exactly what it is. It's literally code running inside of Postgres.
Yeah, it has little nice side effects. I ran into one just the other day because there was like a little bug, or I don't know, maybe it was just something we were updating where like our collections are orderable. And like when you insert a new collection, there's like a little trigger that sets the index on all the items in the collection. And it's just a trigger. So nobody had to write any Go code or anything to do that reordering. It just happens because the trigger does it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. And part of it for us is we are transitioning from like a Rails monolith to like a Go monolith. And so often when you're doing that and you, the one thing that we know we're going to bring along is the Postgres database, moving some of the logic from Rails into Postgres makes it agnostic of what language it's being handled, because
that was the thing. You don't have to write it in either language. It just works.
But a big part of it for us is we're kind of transitioning. So often you have to maintain logic in both languages. So if you can move it out into the database, because that's something you need to do, like the way we do collection ordering, it is really helpful because then it works in both environments and you're not rewriting it into programming languages.
Which we did poorly. Not just, I mean, just whatever, there's a bug. So what does triggers have to do with search then?
Yeah, so for us, for CodePen, anytime you insert a new record into something that we want to search, pens, projects, collections, those kinds of things, we make sure that we update the data in currently two tables. We still maintain these two solutions. And part of the reason we chose two solutions, because when we were developing the Postgres search, we didn't know which one would perform better and which one would be more maintainable. So we were like, let's do both, because we have enough experience with Postgres and we have to worry so little about the data size and duplication and things like that for this specific data set that we said we can do both of them and see what works. And so one solution, version one is what we'd call it, is a wide table with many columns. And it kind of has a column for every little data type that we want to search. So if you had a pen title and pen tags, we would have a column for every one of those pieces of data. Whereas version two of the search solution, if you had, it's a narrow table, but then what we do is we have kind of an input data type, and it tells us what that, where that data came from. And then when we want to search or limit, we base it on the type inputs, inputs types that we want to search. And so it is narrow, but it's much longer is the idea. Mm-hmm. And that's, that kind of went out and we got to test both of them in production.
Yeah. You were concerned about like speed, that type of performance, right? You're worried about that typing a search and then you hit, like, from a user's perspective, we want search to just be like, boop, there it is. I mean, that's what users are used to. We don't want no 5-second search results, right?
Right. That, that for anything search related, when you're searching for data, the big limiter is your performance, right? I could run a for loop that searches a bunch of data, but it would take ages. So it's, search is uniquely specialized software that is able to return the information you're looking for in a reasonable amount of time. And so one thing about Elasticsearch is it scales horizontally really well. You can add more nodes and be able to kind of, it, the way it handles the data internally, it just shards it and separates it. It's able to do a lot of work in parallel. And whereas Postgres, we just have this one instance that we use. So we wanted to make sure that we could, that our search solution would be better or just as good as what I was hoping for, and actually ended up being much better. But that's more internal reasons why our search was better.
Yeah, well, it works great. It's weird looking at the data in the database of this. It's all little, like, little weird pieces of words and stuff. Like, it, nothing about it looks like very obvious to me how it works. But that's the magic.
Right. Yeah. I mean, even the way the Postgres, it's a custom solution. So they have a column called a column type, I think it would be, it's called a TSV column, where it takes the text content and improves the searchability of it, right? So you're kind of getting a hit on write time for the improvement in read time. So it's indexing information and trying to improve your ability to search.
I don't know this, but it's, I think, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, the reason it does it is because you get a bunch of free UX nicety from the way it does it, like pluralized words. It doesn't matter, you know, like you could type rainbow or rainbows and it doesn't, it's, you're not like penalized for that and stuff.
And right. And that's what's interesting is we were so simple, right? Because every, like when you're talking about like stemming and like removing certain words and being able to use the context, Elasticsearch can do all of that and more. Everything we could that we're doing right now in PostgreSearch, Elasticsearch will blow it out of the water as far as a search solution. But for us, we never even took advantage of all those solutions because it was such a much more complex solution for us to implement that even simple things like what you're describing, like stemming a word, using the root of the word, we couldn't implement that. And so, whereas with this solution, we almost just did it in our little bit of spare time. It went incredibly quickly. We were able to improve the way we handled search, handle all these little ticks and problems and things like that, that we had always had issues with, where we just couldn't find certain little search results with something that obviously should have been found with what the users were giving us.
Yeah, isn't that funny? That would be like one of the saddest things is our search, you know, I get feedback on this plenty, even in real life, where it's like, this search sucks, you know? But we did want to make sure that we weren't making it any worse. We can't say right now with a straight face that our search is absolutely freaking amazing, because it just isn't.
Absolutely, you know, like, not. Yeah, it's just never been something that we've invested enough in for me to be like, no, our search is awesome. It's something like, that we want to invest in over time, but we're in this big transition phase, like where we have to focus on everything but search.
Totally. So this is, it's not amazing, but it's, our goal was to make it at least just as good. So I remember when we were, I even remember some specific meetings and stuff when we're like, all right, we really, 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 really want to do this, but I don't think we can stomach making it even worse than it already is. So first, we got to make sure that whatever V1, V2, whatever, that it's at least returning as good of results as it was before, because that would be untenable to like take too much of a nosedive in quality. And I remember, you know, we had some pretty basic questions like, okay, well, what are people searching for? And we have analytics tools, so we just wired that up to, we're using some kind of, I don't know, it's from the buy-sell ads team. We have all kinds of things we could have done for this. We might even be using multiple solutions for this too. We're just weird that way. But I remember wiring it up to full res, which is just kind of like buy-sell ads is analytics tool that we use for some things. And just said, when people search, just log the search term. You know, it's literally as simple as that. And then I remember it was so beta on their side that I was like, can you build me a dashboard just for this? And they're like, okay. I can't believe we got a feature through the door that way, but that helped us out. So now it's very easy for us to look at any time and see easily what the top, you know, 10, 20, 50 search terms are as CodePen. And it was a little enlightening that way too. It, globally, all searches on CodePen, the searches are so basic.
Right.
They're just like, they're like button, React, you know, just.
Yeah, they're not looking for like. And part of that is a little bit of a learned behavior on CodePen, because if you're not, we've never taught people how to do more complex search on CodePen.
Yeah, right.
And so over time, like as we give you the ability to add more search terms and filter more data, which is kind of like where we want to go to be able to narrow the search of what you're looking for. But yeah, search queries on CodePen are extremely basic.
They really are, especially the global ones. So then we looked at the top 50 or something and pitted V1 against V2 and against what already happens, you know, like what the default is. And it like seemed to me that most of them were better. The V1 and V2 for one were really, really close. They mostly return the same stuff, which was kind of surprising to me.
Yeah, for the most part, the only reason that we had V1 and V2, the only difference a user would experience is they actually wouldn't experience much of a difference. For us, it was our ability to improve the performance of the search, and that's where V1 actually ended up winning out. It was easier to make, especially for the long tail of searches that where Postgres ended up searching for records that weren't often searched for. V2 was hard to optimize. V1 was much easier to optimize. V2 was much easier to optimize. And so at the end of the day, we are going to end up just using V2 as our search solution.
Oh, are we? Okay. I think we've already stepped down that road a little bit. I've seen some PRs recently ripping out some of the two options stuff. Cool. So we have that. The results were good, and that's awesome for that global search stuff. You know, just as full disclosure here, you know, not everything is always roses all the time. There's some things that went away. There's some like sorting crap that's just temporarily gone. Even a fairly big one that's just temporarily gone is that, like, we used to index every piece of code in a pen and like throw that into Elasticsearch as well, which is an awful lot of work and an awful lot of data. And it wasn't necessary for all these top 50 searches, really. Like, it wasn't helping the quality of the search. Who suffers then is like a power user who is searching just their own pens for like all their pens that use border radius or something, and they didn't put border radius in any other piece of data on the pen. That's going to be worse for them. And we've heard from some of those people. So sorry about that. We'll get to that. Know that search got better mostly for everybody. But, you know, so there's always trade-offs in development. And that was kind of one of the trade-offs. And it's not forever, but it's for now.
Yeah, that's definitely probably the biggest downside was we were not able to make the Postgres search fast enough but if we added the code. And that's something that we're going to definitely bring back. It's really obvious for us to do that. And that's what's interesting about our search solution. Like, we may end up, depending on how things go for this release, back on Elasticsearch. That's an actual option.
Isn't that weird to think about? But it could be. If we do so well with the V2 that we're making more money and we're hiring more staff and we can put more people on it and it's important enough for everybody, yeah, we can always move back. Nothing's forever.
Yeah, and there are additional things that you can do with Elasticsearch that are really special. You can do context-aware search and things like that. And I'm sure you can do things like that with Postgres. So, you know, if at all possible, we'll stay on Postgres search. I definitely would prefer it from as the guy who has to roll that puppy out to production and maintain it and handle all the backups and things like that. There's just all these additional internal reasons why using the good enough search solution from Postgres is amazing.
Right.
Not having to worry about making sure that your database is in sync, right? You could have if your database goes down, like, you might have to re-index, and there's a long lead time for re-indexing all the data and bringing things back and disaster recovery and all these things. And so not having to worry about any of that, know that it's taken care of because it's all the same processes that we use for
just
Postgres.
The backups, that's amazing. You know? Yeah, that's really cool. And there's a lot of like juice we can squeeze from search before we do insane infrastructure stuff, which is always nice. Like, how much more value can we get out of something without dedicating like tons of engineering resources to it that seem more possible now, that just seem like we just got to slot them into our development schedule? Like, you're looking at a tag. Why can't you search in the tag? You're looking at a collection. You should search the collection. I'm looking at Shaw's profile. Why can't I search Shaw's profile? Those are things that there's no technological reason why we can't do that now. It's more of a like thinking out the UI and the UX and the getting the queries just right and the API ready to support it and stuff. It's just a little like sprint of work. That the only reason it's not done is because we're a really small team, like we keep saying, and we'll slot that crap in when we, not crap, I don't mean to diminish these amazing works, but.
Absolutely. And a big part of it is just, it's very easy for us to implement additional filters and grouping and things like that. Like, we can index all the data. It's much easier for us to get the features. And where you'll see most of the benefit of us moving to this Postgres search is honestly the rest of the application. Because it just means we maintain a whole lot less in other tertiary parts of our app, which, for better or worse, is search right now. You know, where we are right now, we're able to just focus on developing the new editor and not focus on debugging problems with our search.
No, we don't even worry about it. It's just so—it's so cool. That's why it's so funny in the like the world of UX. You know, people are like, you would never make a choice that's just for DX at the cost of UX. You know, and I get what people are saying. Like, you know, don't this isn't about the developers. It's about the users who use the site. Why would you ever prioritize a developer over a user? I'm like, I'm telling you, y'all, sometimes you got to prioritize the developer over the user. If you get yourself in such a mess that you're like not able to work on the site effectively anymore, that also has bad UX problems. Like,
yeah, and we found ourselves with those problems before, where we just are spending so much time on maintenance and legacy bugs of software production that we can't move forward on everything else. And we do the opposite of that now. Most of our time is spent focused on developing the new version of CodePen, not trying to maintain the old version that isn't doing well.
Yeah. Rock and roll. All right. Well, that was enlightening and interesting. Hopefully y'all understand about our search choices now. I look forward to, in 2 years, talking about how we are switching to Elasticsearch and how amazing it is.
I can't wait to introduce you guys to our search team. when we have the search team on, it's going to be magical. I'm going to be glowing talking about all the things that they're going to do.
About privately is stuff like that. We really do. We talk about, like, we'll never make that choice again unless we had the money essentially to do it. Like, that's what fuels our future decision making, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it'll be a cold day in hell we switch to Elasticsearch without without some success in other areas, let's say.
Yeah, it's unlikely we'll run out of things to do on the main app. So unless there's a lot of success and dedicated folks, we're very happy. Honestly, and at the same time, it also speaks to the fact that we're very happy with PostgreSearch at the moment. So, and we can still do so much more with it. So it's a little bit of both.
Indeed. All right. Until next time, we'll get Alex back to talk about something else complicated and weird.
Way more interesting stuff.
Bye. Yeah. See you later.